All stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 61 of the American Vindicta Show. I'm your host, Doug Thornton, and we have another special in-house interview with my good friend, AJ. And we're going to see how many of these episodes we can do in the upcoming weeks. AJ is someone that I truly respect and I think has a lot to say about the way we see policing in America and the way we see politics in America. Not only that, but policing from around the world. And before we get into that, let's talk about the sponsors real quick. We have Steve Quell from stevequell.com. You can go there and you can get his precious metals. We have Mountain Dash State Dash Survival, where you can go to that website and use Wrecker 5, R-E-K-K-R 5, to get 5% off for any of your survival needs. And there's also Robert Griswold. Go to ReadyMade Resources, where you can get any type of night vision, ballistic helmets. You can even call Bob, and he can help you prepare for you and your family based off your locality. All right, we have everything out of the way. We need to get into this, AJ. We need to talk about what's going on in Canada. So, as you're all aware, what's happening in Canada with the Freedom Convoy, to me, it's righteous rebellion.
Absolutely.
It's righteous indignation. I mean, you're seeing a people who have been abused by their government. They've used law enforcement to harass and intimidate their people. And, you know, as two cops, and, you know, that's pretty much what I guess we're going to call the show, two cops and
two
a mic.
Two cops and a mic.
You know, it's, to me, it's interesting, AJ, because law enforcement here in America is something that it's taboo, but it's cherished.
Right.
It's, you know, you either love cops or you hate cops or you're a little indifferent. But, you know, at the same time, we, for the most part, I would say 95% of cops are out there doing the right thing.
I would say that, too. I would agree.
Yeah, I think 95% of the cops, we get a bad rap because of a few politicians and a few people here and there within law enforcement. And no one comes after bad cops more than good cops.
Right.
You know, people don't understand the inner workings of law enforcement. We are our own harshest critic, because most of the time it's brothers who are, you know, criticizing others between any type of policing actions that are illegal or unconstitutional. And we see something happening with this Freedom Convoy in Canada, AJ. I'm going to let you have your opinion on this, but I don't think there's a word besides authoritarian that I can use. I think they're going very, very close to Gestapo-like tactics.
Absolutely. I being from the city of Detroit and the Ambassador Bridge, my whole life going back and forth across that bridge, going to Canada. We used to go over there as teenagers because the drinking age was 19 back in the day. So we literally, I spent my whole life going back and forth to Canada across either the Ambassador Bridge or the Windsor Tunnel. But as a police officer, we used to have this Freedom Festival every summer in Detroit. And they would have a tug-of-war team. The Windsor Ontario Police, or the, I'm sorry, the Ontario Provincial Police. It was the Windsor Police and the Detroit Police. They would literally have a rope that went across the Detroit River. And they would have the tug-of-war teams battling it out for who was the strongest. And there was such a sense of brotherhood with the officers. And camaraderie. Absolutely. We were all blue. And to see, looking back at what we used to see that happened every year, and seeing what we see today, I'm not even recognizing the police. I guess you could say, I'm not recognizing. It's almost like a different world. It's almost like I'm in a twilight zone, because I saw a video today. A female police officer from Ontario went out to a woman's house, knocked on the door, and I forget where I saw that. It was on the news. I was looking at YouTube. I was looking at YouTube, and the officer came out because this particular lady tweeted out support for the truckers, the Freedom Convoy. Canada is sending police officers out to people's homes to intimidate them under the guise of, well, we just came to let you know what your rights are. You can say this, you can say that. We're not here to create any problem. But if an officer shows up at your house in response to a tweet that you made out, sent out supporting the Freedom Convoy, what would you think?
Well, here's the thing for me. For one, in America, your First Amendment right to freedom of speech should be, I would say, dangerously fought for.
Absolutely, I agree.
Because if you don't have the right to speak out, if you don't have the right to redress grievances to your government, you have no rights, and you live now under a monarchy. And that is not Canada. Canada, you know, they don't have the same constitution we do, but it is very similar. But even then, you would think that people would still have the freedom to speak. And this is the thing that pisses me off about this, is that as cops, we have enough of a bad rap from a few bad apples.
Yep.
Why give more attention to a movement, for one thing, that's there for your freedom as well, you know, fellow Canadian police officers,
yep,
or to anyone listening who thinks the same way that is an American police officer? Your citizens are fighting for your rights. Why don't you stand up and support them? There was I was telling you about a major that, I can't remember the YouTube channel, but a listener sent me the email. And this major, who is in the Canadian military, was speaking out against the atrocities from the government, against the forced vaccinations, the vaccine lockdowns, and saying that, hey, you know, we have all been fooled, and I think you have. I think the treason within our politicians is bad enough that we all see it. But when it comes from law enforcement, this is when we start talking about things getting dangerous.
Absolutely.
Because law enforcement has the ability to arrest, make warrantless arrests or warranted arrests that are then given, what, by politicians? Politicians are now telling judges and prosecutors to go after people, or politicians are pressuring law enforcement to go out and silence people. That is so quick. That is so quickly becoming Gestapo-like tactics or brown shirt-like tactics.
Very Hitler-esque.
The stormtrooper-like tactics of intimidating, harassing, or maiming or killing your political opposition. Wake up, America. Wake up, Canada. The Freedom Convoy is not the Communist Convoy. Look at 2020. Look, just from the time that Donald Trump ran as president, from 2016 all the way to 2020. Look at all the attacks upon American cities and American freedoms that happened during that time, and the abuse between the government and the left, the Democrats. Look at all the people who died, who were murdered, targeted, assassinations, harassed, blackmailed, fraud, you name it. And then look at the Freedom Convoy. Not one person hurt.
Nope.
What, they honk their horns and you can't stand it? When you have tyrants who don't, they can't enjoy their five-star dinner because they have to hold one hand across their ear because, you know, the horns are too loud. Well, too bad, so sad, Trudeau. Take the tampon off and be a man a little bit. Maybe if you owned up for the mistakes that you made, maybe if you weren't such a globalist, you weren't such a supporter of anarchy, and a racist at that,
yep,
maybe your citizens wouldn't be turning against you. You're there to help support the Canadian citizens and their freedom, their daily lives, but instead you imprisoned them in their own country. You turned populations that were in the law enforcement community that are also Canadian citizens,
yep,
against their own citizens. What did you think was going to happen? Let me tell you what I'm worried about. False flags. I'm worried about cops getting killed. I'm worried about the wrong people getting framed for cops getting killed. And not only that, most of these cops have families.
Yep.
What happens when it turns to you? When you have no place to run, you have no place to hide, because you pissed off everybody through your intimidation tactics by following these crony bureaucrats and by more or less negating the badge. See, holding the badge and not tarnishing the badge is a big thing to me, because there's too many men and women who stand for righteousness. They mm-hmm. stand for honor and respect and duty and protecting and serving. And when you tarnish the badge, it takes years to wipe that clean.
Absolutely. If you can do it at all. You know, something else that I thought was interesting, when I watched that video of the Canadian officer going out to this lady's house as an act of intimidation, that lady didn't break any laws. They're making stuff up on the fly and then sending police officers out to enforce things that aren't even legislated.
To just average Joe citizen.
They're using the police in a very Hitler-esque way, I like to call it. Now, I don't want to criticize the police, but I'm going to tell you. I knew as a police officer, I do not have to follow an unlawful order.
Right.
I do not have to abide by any directive that violates the U.S. Constitution.
Right.
I don't know all of Canada's constitution, but I will say this. For the police, that police officer that I saw was a female officer, actually, went by herself to go to some lady's house to intimidate her. What if she had gone to the wrong house, got into a big fight, and something bad had happened to that officer? She was not out there enforcing the law. She was out there enforcing some kind of fly-by-night directive. Go and tell these people as an act of intimidation. Mm-hmm. Now, it's really funny. They're using their police that way.
And they want the military to do the same thing.
Yeah. Now, I can remember during the big Black Lives Matter marches, they started having them all over the country. They had one in Canada. So they're demonizing the police in 2020. And now they're using those same officers to go and intimidate the citizens that they're supposed to be there to protect. They're supposed to be, police officers are supposed to protect the citizens from tyranny. I got a huge problem with what I saw today. I was sitting there watching in disbelief. What is sad to me is, now, I mean, again, I don't know that police officer per se, but I put myself in the shoes of, well, I was a cop, but if somebody had ordered me to go to somebody's house and just kind of intimidate them about what they tweeted, there's no way I would have followed that order. There's absolutely no way. First of all, I would have, because I used to ask questions, and these kind of things used to get me in trouble. I said, well, where is that written? What law is that? I prided myself on having a working knowledge of the law. So when I had rookie officers at FTOs, when I was an FTO field training officer, I had rookies who were about to do things that violated people's rights. I said, whoa, 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 remember your Fourth Amendment. Oh, and I would sit there and I would explain to them, like, dude, this is how you get sued. This is how you get fired. You don't do stuff like that. To literally go to somebody's house because of a tweet, it was some kind of tweet in support of the Freedom Convoy. That's all it was. If it was something violent, or if the lady was supporting violence, they would have said so. But that was not the case. They're using the police to go out and basically suppress free speech
as an intimidation force. You know, I used to go and do knock and talks for whenever we would get that one crazy person who threatened to blow up the White House.
Now, that's different.
Or you know, I didn't get my Social Security check or my IRS check, right, so I'm going to kill a president. And then you have to go out there and say, okay, on this date, did you say this? And they'll say, you know, I don't remember, or yes or no. And then if they say yes, or okay, well, did you mean it? Well, no, I was pissed off. Okay, well, have a good day. Please don't say that again. And then you'd leave, right?
Exactly.
But I have seen too many videos. I saw a video earlier today of a young officer arresting an 80-year-old man.
I saw that.
For honking his horn in support of the convoy. Hey, let me ask you something, Canada. What happens when that 80-year-old man honks his horn in support of the officers? Do you arrest him still because the politician said that you can't support officers?
An 80-year-old man.
And not just that they arrested him, but there's a person off to the side filming saying, hey, you can't do that, that's illegal. And whether or not, I don't know the laws too well, but whether or not it was, he puts his driver's license away, and he goes to walk back to his car, and, well, now you're evading arrest, and you're failing to identify, so I'm going to take you to jail. Really? Now, look, man, you have officer discretion.
Yep.
Officer discretion. I could. This is what I would have done, okay? Now, we can Monday morning quarterback this, but this is probably what I've done, because I've done stuff like this similar.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, don't do that. Have a nice day. Or, hey, look, I'm not in support of this. This is what the law says. These are what the policies are. Don't do this. Have a nice day. It's your right to then take someone under arrest if they actually break the law.
He was honking his horn.
What is that, a misdemeanor?
I don't know what it is in Canada, but...
noise pollution?
There was all kind of horns being honked. But to waste time... I don't know, maybe it's really cold in Canada, Doug. Maybe those officers wanted to lock that old man up to get in out of the cold. I don't know. But I saw that same video.
You have to impound the car.
Yeah.
You then have to process... You have to take the guy to wherever your precinct is.
But they roughed him up. I saw it. They roughed him up. I'm like, man, this is... And the guy was like 5'2".
Yeah.
Both of these officers are 6'3", 6'4". And they roughed him up and drug him away for honking his horn in support of the Freedom Convoy.
At what point do we draw the line? Here, let me ask you this much. At what point, as officers... do we decide to draw the line on that moral, ethical decision? For me, it was January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
January 6th was the boundary of the moral, ethical decision when everything came out about the nefarious acts from the FBI and the Department of Justice. And, you know, to see the atrocity of what happened for that and how all these politicians... hated cops the year prior, and then loved cops whenever they protect them.
I saw a news article right after that. They had a picture of Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib.
Oh, I hate that lady.
From Dearborn, Michigan, which is right outside of Detroit. And it said, and just like that, Democrats now back the blue.
Yeah.
After trashing the police...
to include your president,
yeah,
your vice president, the vice president, who actually had a form of a GoFundMe...
yep.
To bail out the people that we were arresting. Hey.
That's crazy.
100 plus felonious crimes that we arrested people on for assaults on officers, felony destruction of property, to felony graffiti for like historical buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, even just a spray paint on one of the courthouses that were there in Portland, which everyone probably gets tired of me talking about Portland. I use Portland so much because I think it's a historical precedent.
Well,
you were
out there a lot, and it was a lot of crazy things going on in Portland.
Just to scrub the stone facade of this one courthouse, mm-hmm, was like $30,000 every time they graffitied it.
Dang.
Yeah. Because it's porous and you can't destroy the historical product. Yeah, it gets into a lot of money when we're talking about trying to, you know, keep that and preserve it. And it happened daily. Mm-hmm. Not just the threats to officers, not just the threat to government officials, but then the harassment of the people. The harassment, mm-hmm, of the entire community and the ethnic community that also had to go through it. No one cared then. In fact, hell, they supported it.
Now, you know... I wonder what people think. What does that do to the morale of the officer?
Well, people left. Portland Police Bureau was a couple thousand strong. And then by the time I'm finally leaving Portland, they had less than 1,000 officers that could go on the street, like 500 during the day, 500 at night.
That's crazy.
And the overtime just wasn't there. The RRT team, the rapid response team, that was like a sister unit to our SRT team. They wouldn't show up because they got disbanded or everybody quit. And why did everybody get quit? Because the police department failed the police officers.
Yes, they did.
And if the police department fails the police officers, then that one random lady who got attacked or raped by the one random homeless sycophant,
yep,
could have been prevented, but instead... you were out there just as much harassing police officers just trying to do their job. Now, we can go into 5 different directions with just that.
Yep.
But eventually, AJ, eventually, cops have to make the decision. Do we listen to the law or the policy? Or do we listen to the policy maker, the politician?
Well, you know, I don't think that in a lot of these Democrat-run cities that they even want officers that are able to use or use discretion. They want non-thinking robots. That's why I keep calling it very Hitler-esque, just like what we saw in Canada. Those officers over there, without ever having worked in Canada, I'm sure that they have run into scenes where they had to use their own discretion and go, you know what, I'm not bothering this guy. Or, sir, please, could you quiet this down and just move on? I mean, to rough up an old man and drag him off and take him to jail, to go out to someone's home and knock on the door to intimidate them because of them using the internet, I found out, was it 2 days ago or yesterday, I didn't know that Canada was still in virtually complete lockdown.
Yeah.
For 2 solid years. I mean, no rest. Like, okay, Texas, we shut down for a little bit. We shouldn't have done it. But, I mean, completely shut down for 2 years. I saw some of these truckers talk about how they're in collections. They're behind on their bills. They've lost their work. They've lost their jobs.
People have committed suicide.
Absolutely. They've committed suicide. They've literally been locked down for 2 years. And I think with us being here in Texas, maybe in Florida, we're like, man, who's still locked down? But where I'm from, in Michigan, they're still semi-locked down. Other states are locked down. I couldn't imagine what we went through for the months that we went through here. I couldn't imagine it being 2 years.
And it still wasn't that bad here in Texas.
But you know what? Even what it...
In the
not compared to other places.
In the Democratic-run cities, it was just like others.
Oh, yeah. But these people, these truckers, have lost virtually everything.
Well, what do you think is going to happen with the American convoy?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I hope happens. Well, okay, your question was, what do I think? I think the American truckers have seen what their brothers in Canada have done. And I think they're planning something big. I mean, what Canada showed us, truckers matter.
Right.
I don't think the higher-ups expected this. They thought everybody would roll over and capitulate and just take it. They thought they had it locked down, but I really believe we're seeing a righteous rebellion take place, and I believe it's going to spread. I saw what's happening in France. My wife told me of a... I didn't see this video, but my wife saw an article and a video of somebody with a dump truck in France going up to some Capitol building, dumping cow manure on the steps. It's spreading. And they're like, wait a minute, who would have thought? Truckers? That's their mindset. Now, I mean, truckers are wonderful people. Everything we need, the grocery store, everything we buy, it has to be transported.
And every time it's not there, the demand gets higher.
Yep.
And the prices get higher. And then things stop showing up. And people start freaking out. Remember the toilet paper fiasco?
Absolutely.
Right? All right, so let's segue into something else. The internment camps.
Oh, boy.
What we're seeing in New Zealand and Australia and in some places in Europe, mm-hmm. where people are being ripped out of their home for not being vaccinated or for being told that they're sick or that they tested positive, and by the police, forcefully vacated from their home. Fourth Amendment's thrown out the window there. Using the
police. They want to do that here.
They do. There are multiple states. New York's one of them. Washington State's one of them. Washington State has 3 camps already created. I don't know if it's staffed. I don't think they're running. But what happens, AJ, when these idiots, these politicians, finally say, okay, law enforcement, it's your turn now. If they're not vaccinated, if we don't know, we're going to send people out to their houses, and you're going to accompany them. If they're not vaccinated, you're grabbing them, and you're transporting them to X, Y, and Z camp. Do you know the amount of chaos that will happen? The damn gunfights.
They'll be sending those officers to their deaths, a lot of them. I, you know what? I want to say that I don't think officers would do it, but what we see today, sadly, I believe there are some officers that would think that they're okay under the interest of, they call it public safety, or it's a public emergency. That would be horrific. I, for one, hope that I couldn't see that well happening here in Texas. I believe that there are people that would try. Maybe over in Dallas or Houston. But the utter chaos, that I think we would see, that I think would be the last straw and would push this nation into some type of armed insurrection or civil war. It would have to.
Would you, if you were still on the streets, would you do it?
Absolutely not.
If you were still on the streets and you got the order, let me ask you this, and you were working close to retirement, would you quit? Would you refuse to even go out of the precinct?
I would refuse. If it came down to, Doug, I'm 50, too. I walked away from a pretty good salary for somebody my age, in my age bracket, as a DHS contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they told us, hey, you got until a certain day to get the shot, I said, I'm not doing it. And my wife was okay with it, but they threatened me.
Mm-hmm.
I walked away.
And there was no law.
And it, right, there was no law.
Still, the visor vaccine can't get passed by FDA.
Well, the truth of the matter is, none of them were ever approved. They got an extension of the emergency use authorization, and they lied and said that it was approved, and people ran out and did it. I saw people that we would have these conversations. You know where we were. Oh, I'm not doing that. And then I slowly but surely, one guy told me, he says, man, my wife's on my case. Another guy whose wife works at one of the government government facilities we used to do the security at, she's way up there. She's got a great salary. She told him, hey, you better go get that Fauci-ouchie. Roll up your sleeve and get the Fauci-ouchie. And he, for months, was like, absolutely. And he's an ex-cop. He was like, absolutely, I'm not doing it. But they capitulated. I, for one, believe that God is going to take care of me. I didn't even know where I was going to go. I just knew I couldn't. My personal choice matters. And if I was still, okay, sovereignty over your body. If you lose sovereignty over your own body, what else do you have left?
Well, you know, and this it comes down to this as Americans. We have our constitutional right.
Yep.
But the moment our government forgets that, we need to remember as Christians that we're citizens of heaven first.
Absolutely.
And God's right,
yep.
God's commandments, oversees,
yep.
supersedes the Constitution.
My body is the temple that the Holy Spirit dwells in. I, for one, I don't like the ingredients from the shots. I've listened to these people say, oh, yeah, they use fetal cell lines from aborted babies. I know of personal horror stories of people who've had horrible adverse reactions.
We know employees.
Yes, we do.
We know employees who got almost deadened arms from it.
People suffering from myocarditis. Now Moderna's coming out and admitting that. Oh, well, we're going to lengthen the time between the shots so it'll reduce heart inflammation. But knowing that I believe in personal choice. I believe in sovereignty over my own body. I believe in the Constitution. If I was still a police officer and somebody told me, you got to go out and drag people out of their homes and take them to internment camps or you're fired, I would have handed them my gun and badge right then and there, because I'm not doing that.
No,
because
absolutely not.
That violates my Constitution. I'm not. That violates my personal Constitution. Okay. My thing has always been, okay, if you were, as far as the vaccines go, whether you believe in them or not, okay, whatever. If you have on your bulletproof vest and I don't have on mine, that's on me. And they say, well, the vaccine is out there to protect. Well, wait a minute. If the vaccine doesn't protect you against, who are you vaccinated against? The unvaxxed, right? So if the vaccine actually worked like they said it would, you wouldn't need to threaten people. You wouldn't need to coerce. You wouldn't need to bully people and try to make them get this shot. They'll run and go get it if it works.
Well, it's not just that. We have an epidemic of race baiting in America, and now we have an epidemic of vaccination baiting.
And it's crazy. You know, but the first thing that thought of, that came to my mind when all this started, I'm wondering, and I'm looking at Christians, other Christians. I'm listening to a guy that I know very well. He pastors down in Florida, telling his people to do this, do this, do this. I know of another church locally, I won't name it. Well, we won't let you in unless you got vaxxed. Do we really believe this book or not? Can you imagine Jesus with the disciples? Jesus himself is there healing people, like the Bible tells us he did. Can you imagine the disciples sitting up checking temperatures?
Like Matthew 10, telling the apostles to go out and call out any demon in my name and get them out of there people's bodies, healing the sick, raising the dead back to life.
Well, wait a minute. If we have the power to speak the word of God, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall cast out devils. Well, let's just talk about the sick. We are not promised. The Bible specifically says they shall lay hands on the sick. So the Bible takes the premise that there's going to be sick people. I know of a guy right now who left the church he was at here in the Fort Worth area. He's like, man, the pastor got angry with us because we're like, look, the people are hurting. Hey, they want us to come and have prayer with them. Oh, no. We're not going to be having prayer here. Well, if you're not having prayer here, why are your doors open?
It's no longer a church.
Like, but my first thought was, this is a precursor to the mark of the beast.
Yes, sir.
Once you start saying you can't do this unless you do this, like, so you're telling me I have to inject something that I don't feel I want or need into my body, and I don't know what it is. They rush this stuff together real quick because this is all about money. When my wife got COVID in July, and heck, I had COVID. I didn't even know I had COVID. My symptoms were very mild. I sneezed a lot. I had body aches one day. That was it. I went to sleep, took a nap, woke up, said, okay, hon, let's go grocery shopping. A week later, my wife, who had some sinus drainage or whatever, she was dizzy and passing out, so I took her in. They said she had pneumonia. Then the nurse says, hey, the doctor says, would you like a COVID test? So my wife says, well, okay. They said, oh, you're positive. Then they asked me if I wanted to test, and I said, okay. They says, wow, you're positive. And the doctor looks at me, my wife, and another medical person says, wow, they both tested positive, but neither one of them have fevers. Both of their vitals are normal. Now, for me, it was very mild. I understand there have been people that have been sick. I understand there are people who've died. People have died from the flu. But I'm sitting there, and a nurse pulled me, and one lady was asking us, hey, are you guys vaccinated? I said, no, and I said, what does that matter? They're getting sick. Vaccinated people, and they called it breakthrough infections back then. A nurse told me, she says, look, this is all about money. Mm-hmm. You got to do your own research. I said, well, weren't the vaccines billed to us as a prevention in the beginning? She says, sir, no. They're supposed to, if they work the way they say, to keep you from getting really sick. I said, well, how the heck does that work? They were saying, Fauci was saying, it's 92% effective. This product is 94% effective.
Every month it became less effective.
Yes. And then after Colin Powell died, after he was double vaxxed or whatever, and all the day after he died, that's when my company told me, well, and that was in October, you got to get the shot by December 8th. Well, what happens December 8th? You're fired. But let me get this right. And I had just recently been promoted. You know that. Like, you're telling me that you're going to fire me? Well, it's now a condition of employment. It wasn't on the original contract that I signed. So now you threw that in there? Like, so, I mean, look, my wife and I made it through it. Thank God. We're still here. 99.5% of people, all people who get COVID, survive and they recover. So let me get this right. You want me to inject myself with an experiment? This is like, I think about Nuremberg. I think about things that are Hitler-esque and Nazi concentration camps. You want to stick me with something and tell me, well, you got to take it. Now, the doctor told my wife, under no circumstances is she to take it. My wife had a pre-existing medical emergency or a situation. The doctor said, I wouldn't recommend you do any of them. She said, and she even wrote my wife a note, gave her a waiver for her job.
But yet, Fauci thinks he's the supreme doctor of the land.
And he's never seen a patient.
This is, so let's talk about this. The church in America capitulated.
Absolutely they did. And we missed it big. We missed a big opportunity to let our light shine. But you know what it did? COVID actually did something good. It exposed who some of these church leaders and church people really are. I mean, the big dividing line. Who would have thought that it would be COVID? You had people. I went to a church. Now they're preaching the Bible. Well, okay, sit. One seat over. You, when you get to your seat, you can take your mask off. But if you're walking around, keep your mask on. Wait a minute. If it's airborne, like, if it's airborne, okay, if I'm sitting 6 feet away from you and I'm able to take my mask off, okay, we wear a mask walking in. And then we all go walk out. I mean, we got to come in and out the same door. But while we're sitting in the same auditorium, we can take our masks off while we're seated.
Where is the courage of the pastors?
That's what I'm saying. You know what?
The apostles went to the lepers.
Yes, they did. Jesus healed the lepers. Now, but see, you and I believe that.
But I believe. Here's my problem.
I don't think these people believe what their Bible say.
I plead the blood of Jesus over my family every day.
Absolutely. So do I.
And I believe into the point that I'm willing to be ran out of my own safety and hide in the mountains if need be.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in my God.
I do too.
I have a problem with Christians who stand there in their $3,000 suits taking private jets from one venue to another who tell me, I believe in Jesus, but I believe in the shot more.
Or you got to take the shot if you're going to come to this church. Let me ask you a question. When did coronavirus become more powerful than Jesus?
When Dr. Fauci said it could
okay.
be.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I guess that's when it happened.
Fauci the Almighty.
And don't get me wrong, Doug. It doesn't mean that I don't take precaution, but we live in an age. Jesus warned us that in the last days there would be pestilences, famine, wars, rumors of war, and he said, but be of good cheer. But he said, occupy till I come.
We are to conquer.
Exactly. We're supposed to be advancing the kingdom of God. He didn't say stop because of the Wushu flu or the Wuhan nasty, whatever you want to call it. But they built it up. The real fear that was exposed by Christians is the fear of death. Okay, eventually, if time permits, we're going to all die anyway.
Is it the fear of death or is it the fear of a lack of freedom? Because take Roman occupation in Israel. The Hebrews, they faced outright persecution
yep.
constantly. And you know what they still did? Knowing that they would die in battle, fought anyways.
Yep.
Because they believed in Jesus. They believed in their God. The same God. God ain't changed.
Nope.
Since the time he formed this crusted heap of wasteland into the world it is, God has not changed. If anything, I think as Christians we need to remember something. God's watching us.
Yep.
God's watching what you're doing, pastors. Mm-hmm. And for all you wolves in sheep's clothing.
And there's a lot of them.
Who lead your flocks astray. You will be accounted for when Absolutely. You get to heaven. And they will know you by your faith, by your works.
You know what? A man told me just the other week, we were having this same conversation on the job. And we were talking about the churches. He was from the church where he said, man, the pastor got really indignant when they said, well, look, okay, pastor, if you don't want to do it, some of us will pray with these people. He told this guy that I know, it's time for you to find another church. And he left. He literally walked out. He says, okay. And I was flabbergasted when he told me this. But he said, and I said the same thing you just said. I said, those people are going to be judged. God is looking at what we're doing.
But this is important to talk about the church in America, because the same pastors who tell their own parishioners not to show up because you didn't get vaccinated
yep.
are amongst the same pastors and preachers that are preaching to people
yep.
who support abortion,
yep.
who support gay rights,
yep.
who support more or less Satanism at this point.
Absolutely.
Who support stripping you of your rights, of your Second Amendment right, your First Amendment right. and then still saying that we pray to the same God. Do you think Nancy Pelosi prays to the same God we
do? Absolutely not. Nancy Pelosi is an agent of Satan. But you know what this brother told me? I said, God is going to judge these people for the way they misled their flock. He said, you know what, in the Bible when it talks about many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we cast out devils? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And it hit me. I said, that's who these people are.
Yep.
I wondered for a long time. I would even, in my prayer to him, God, who are these people? Are they liars? Do they really do? You know, then I think about Psalm 1. It says, blessed are they that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And it goes on to say, the wicked shall not stand. And I think verse 5 says, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. That's very interesting. Why would he say sinners in the congregation of the righteous? He's talking about church folks. Right then, I mean, I saw a local pastor of a big church in the Dallas area. I saw him on this program with his wife. Hey, we're getting our shots today and blah, blah, blah. And he's out there. I guess they've recruited him to be an emissary to the black community. You know, they did that with Hank Aaron, and he died.
Are these the same churches that fly the Black Lives Matter flag?
Yes, sir.
Preach racism as well?
Yes, sir.
Because that's what Jesus talked about, right?
And I'm sitting up here like, wait a minute, man. You have a major voice, and he's known all over the world. Why can't we believe God to heal or take care of us? Okay, you know what? God never told us that nobody would get sick. He didn't say that, no, you're not going to die. He told us to make disciples of men. He told us to preach the gospel, be ready in season and out of season. I never saw, oh, okay, except when there's a global pandemic. I like to call it the plandemic. But except if there's sickness or pestilence. He said that these things would come. I saw a guy say something in 2021, no, in 2020 that flabbergasted me. He said, you know what? This is so stupid. This whole thing is planned. And I kind of had a feeling it was. He said, in 2019, we lost 1.65 million people to tuberculosis. You know what TB is, your lung shred in your chest. He said, but nobody wore a mask. Now, we lost 1.65 million to TB. That's worse than COVID. They say 800,000 people have died. So let me get this right. If there's 320 million people in America.
Documented.
Yeah. But let's say a million people died of actual COVID in the U.S. Okay, let's go ahead and say 2 million died of actual COVID, no other pre-existing conditions. Out of 320 million people, that's less than 1%. That's less than 0.5%. And we're acting like, oh, I'm not trying to minimize the deaths. I'm not saying it wasn't terrible for those families who lost loved ones. But we're acting like the whole country is going to die. If we lost a million or 2 million people, 2 million out of 320 million people, that's not really even pandemic level. But look at what the lockdowns did worldwide. In 2020, they lost more people in Japan to suicides.
And Japan has a horrible, horrible history with suicides already.
I mean, all of these kids that were committing suicide in the U.S., they're not talking about that. Those people who had cancer needed life-saving surgeries. My brother had a hip replacement surgery that was put on hold because COVID measures. And he walked around in pain. Now, thank God he later got the surgery in 2021. But all of those cancer patients, all of those people that had serious diseases, like nothing else exists. Everything is COVID.
Well, how about this? They're so worried about COVID. What about the border?
Yeah, but they're importing COVID. They don't have to take a shot. They don't even get tested. You've been there.
You, like I, have been to Mexico.
Yes, I have. My brother-in-law works for Border Patrol.
And you know where I used to work?
Yep.
I used to be on the border. And here's the funny thing is, and I've said this on the show before, but we experienced people coming across illegally that we were catching with tuberculosis,
medical drug resistant tuberculosis.
Yes.
Yep.
The plague. The plague. MERS, Middle Eastern respiratory system. SARS.
That's another form of coronavirus. Yeah.
The H1N1, the swine flu, bird flu, you know, regular flu. And then things that we can't even explain in science, that this one guy in CDC was running back and forth on the border, and he was trying to document as much of it as he could within the Texas region. But it was a real epidemic.
Yep.
And we had politicians.
And those people are still here.
We had politicians who came there and said, you shall let them over. You shall not intercept them. You shall not do your job. You shall ferry them. You will take that badge and then replace it with a nanny basket, and you will ferry people back and forth, negating the laws, breaking the Constitution.
Violating it every day. Shoot. People my brother-in-law worked with were down there changing diapers.
Yeah.
But the thing is, now they were bringing in people that had active COVID. And you know what they would do? When they were shipping, they just found out about it, but it's been going on for a long time. They've been shipping these people all over the country. When they show up at the doctor and they're sick, what do? Oh, COVID cases are rising. In the summer, it was Delta, Delta, Delta. Now it's Omicron. Next, it'll be Megatron, Decepticon, Octagon. Who knows?
It never ends.
They never wanted it to end, Doug. This was intended to go on and on and on and usher in the time of the beast. I am 100% convinced of that.
I think, and we hear of growing rumors of this, in Yemen now, I think there's 3 cases of hemorrhagic fever. Ebola.
Oh, shoot, yeah.
Now, there were Ebola cases when I was working the border. And you can go to, I think, EbolaTracker.com. I think it's a website like that. And you can actually see all the active Ebola cases in America. And it will shock you.
They're not telling anybody about it.
Of course not. But you know what? I'll take the sniffles. I've had COVID. It sucked. It really did.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll take COVID over Ebola.
Absolutely.
You have like an 85% chance of dying horrifically. And they don't talk about that. You know what will grab headlines, though? You know what will change people into capitulating? When they start seeing a spread of people bleeding from their eyes, their nose, their ears, out of every orifice, vomiting blood, falling over in horrific seizures and dying immediately.
And once the media is released to talk about it, the fear campaign will start.
Exactly. And then people will be dragged out of their homes. Because then...
I think you're right.
You'll want it. You'll want to be safe. Well, I don't want to go to Walmart. I don't want to go to Walmart and spend my money with these people with this new virus. And you know what? What's worse is now there's a report in China. A lady had the flu and COVID mixed together. So that means what? There's a mutation.
But you know what? There was always going to be a mutation. They've all but admitted that. Yeah. Viruses, that's what they do. The nature of viruses. And I'm not a virologist, but I read... And I listen to other doctors, specialists that haven't been blacklisted yet. All viruses mutate. I think maybe in a few years, what we now call the common cold will be COVID next. You know, once, but they really wanted to use this to reset the global economy.
The Great Reset.
To do the Great Reset, shut down the cat. And I wholeheartedly believe this. There's way too much evidence for that belief that I have. And then the vaccine push. And then when all these doctors, even Robert Malone, the creator of the messenger RNA vaccine, he's not getting any money off of it. He warned and he said it. He's on YouTube now. They tried to censor him. Fauci even referred to him as the firm leading most expert on virology. He warned the FDA not to shoot people with these drugs.
This is what's scary, is in the latest DHS terrorism, the DHS National Terrorism Advisory broadcast, the government is labeling anybody that talks against COVID-19, talks against the vaccination, that they are spreading malinformation, misinformation, disinformation as a national security threat.
Ain't that crazy?
That's you and me, bro. That's you and me, because we're independent free thinkers. We don't believe everything in front of our eyes. We're not sheep. But when you tell another doctor, when a multiple PhD tells another multiple PhD, you're spreading misinformation, and they go, hold on, Jack, we got the same degrees.
And they're being threatened with the loss of their law, their not law, their medical license practice.
There's an agenda. There is an obvious agenda.
They planned this. And this whole vaccine thing, some people disagree. I truly believe that that was part of depopulating the earth. The Bilderberger thing. The
Georgia Guidestones.
Yeah, I truly... Because now, when the truth comes out about how many deaths, England's talking about the deaths now.
They've already had close to a million injuries within 1 year. Over a million injuries, to include probably tens of thousands of deaths. Probably tens of thousands that are not documented correctly.
Yeah, that VAERS website, they don't update that. But my niece has a friend that took one of those shots. She can't close her mouth. Her jaw seized up. She now can't drink anything hot or cold. She has to go see a neurologist. She had nothing wrong with her until she took one of the shots. Eric Clapton, the musician, he's on YouTube talking about for 3 weeks he lost the use of his hands. Now he has these bouts where if something cold or hot touches his hands, they burn. He did one of those shots in England. And he's telling his story. They tried to shut him up. But he's telling us, eventually, the stories, the magnitude of the impact of what these vaccines have done is going to get out.
Well, look, they've almost blacklisted Joe Rogan into being public enemy number one. And after, who was that singer? Neil Young, no one listens to?
Who's that again? Neil Young? Yeah. Who listens to him?
I think, Spotify more or less betrayed us.
Yep.
We should not be surprised.
But if you're a pedophile, if you're a rapper that says the N-word all the time and cussing and talking about raping and killing the police, you can be on Spotify.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's okay.
You can tweet all you want.
But Joe Rogan tells him what he did to get over COVID for himself, and he's public enemy number one. It's a sick world we live in, man.
You know what the only real protection there is at the end of the day?
The only real protection we have is under the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
That's what I believe wholeheartedly.
And that's why Jesus is the number one enemy of the world.
Absolutely.
It's not Buddha.
Nope. It ain't Islam.
It's not the Quran. It's not the made-up deities of Scientology.
Nope.
It's the name of Jesus makes men of power fear and tremble. Because there is only one true power, and that's God.
Absolutely. I always say this. Jesus was, Jesus is, and Jesus will always be the answer to the world's problems. But the thing, and I'm not talking about just religion. Jesus is the way. He warned us that these things would happen.
He is the truth.
If everything he says so far has been true, and it has, he told us not to fear. He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You know, we've forgotten the God that redeemed us, largely here in this country.
That's why in Revelation, who's the first to be judged?
The churches. I referenced this on another episode. Psalm 9 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. That's why, I mean, the freak out. We're not anchored in Christ anymore as a nation. We survived, this nation survived, what, Spanish flu way back, what, 1918?
World wars,
Civil wars, Revolutionary wars, horrific things. But there was more of a faith in God. There was a much different moral code than we see now.
Even during a time of slavery,
yeah,
there was still more of a faith in God.
Absolutely.
And it, you know what's funny is the more free people seem to get, the more they seem to forget.
The more enslaved they become.
Yeah, seem to forget that Jesus is your only real Savior. Buddy, we're almost out of time.
Already.
Time flies fast. Listen, we're going to have to do this again.
Absolutely.
We're going to have to do this again. I appreciate you being here.
Hey, man, I'm glad you had me. Anytime, just give me a call.
Yeah, you ain't too far from me.
Nope.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, please share this with your friends, your family, your coworkers, a stranger walking by. Do not forget, at the end of the day, you need to prepare accordingly. Times are only going to get worse, and our politicians are only going to continue to betray us more. I think really the best thing to prepare for is accepting Jesus.
Absolutely.
So
he's our only hope.
Yeah, he really is. I have no hope in this government anymore. Just like, you know, Israel was always judged, but every time Israel was judged, God had his hand stretched out still.
Yep.
He may not have his hand stretched out still for this government, but for your individual salvation, God will never flee from you.
Absolutely.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm Doug Thornton with my special guest host, AJ. We're out.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.